episode 172, The Art of Being Delighted. Welcome to How to Glow, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm certified coach Kayla Levin, and I help married Jewish women go from surviving and overwhelmed to thriving and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way. Hi, friends. I am so excited for this week's episode. I want to share this because of something that came up for me personally, from something that's been coming up in my coaching, for my clients, and for the fact that this is such a wonderful time of year to be delighted because we are coming into Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the shift from when we go from the darkest time of year to starting to create more light, and we create the light. And I just think what a wonderful time to give ourselves some of that spark that we need so much. So I'm going to talk to you today about the art of being delighted, how we want to be a person who can be made delighted, how to do it, especially if you're feeling run down or resentful or just in an ungrateful funk, which we all go there sometimes because we're human. Before I start, I want to make sure that every single one of you knows this because I would feel terrible if you didn't. Which is that during Hanukkah, I'm running a really amazing promotion, and I don't think this will ever happen again because my membership price is going to go to the full price starting the end of the year. So during Hanukkah, you can get an entire year of coaching for $390. That is exceptional. That is barely more than what it costs to work with me for one session one-on-one. And this is an entire year of weekly coaching, support from me, support from the community, and all my online classes. Basically, the program is still for the rest of the year, $39 a month. That's the founder price. That's the price I gave myself to just give myself the permission to change things up and get creative and ask my founders what they're loving, what they want to change so that we could spend a year just really sort of concretizing the program. And now we've hit our 1 year anniversary. So at the end of 2022, we're going to be going to our next price, which is $49 a month. It might go up again. But for now, 49 was sort of my aim, my target as we began. And it's still an incredible price for the amount of coaching and support that you get. But it's even better if you go in for the year. You can get it for 390. So that's 2 months you get totally free. And I just love the idea of that sort of luxury and lack of pressure of just committing to working on your brain and whatever the thing is that you most need support with for a whole year. Like no pressure, you've just got that space. And for those of you who like have some commitment issues, that's totally fine. I see you too. You can still get it for $39 a month, but you must hurry. Some of you are already going to be hearing this a little bit late. Maybe we'll come back and edit this out so that people don't feel bad, but get on it because I don't think this is going to come out in another announcement on the podcast. I'm not sure I'll get another one out by the end of the year. So I want to make sure that you don't delay. So just go to kaylalevin.com/coaching. And there will be something delightful waiting for you there. It's the annual pass to my coaching program. And I can't wait to get started with you and have you in there. If you're not there already, which so many of you amazing women already are. All right. So I want to start with talking about where we don't want to be. Okay. So the art of being delighted, obviously, if you went through sort of any like Shalom Bias classes or Kabbalah training, you probably heard this Kabbalistic concept of the provider and the receiver. Let's just do a real quick recap so we know what we're talking about. There is a provider energy, which is like a masculine energy, okay? Every person is made up of some of both, and all of us need to do both in the course of our day, of our life. But this masculine energy is this provider energy. It's the bringing the spark and the inspiration and the idea out into the world. And the receiver energy is the let's take this spark and do something with it. Let's make it real. Let's make it come into the world in a real and tangible way. And this is the receiver energy. It also means that when we're in the context of our marriage, there are things that our husband is trying to provide for us. And what I see more and more, the more women that I work with and the more that we discuss this concept, is that often the thing he wants to provide doesn't match up with what you most naturally want to receive. So your husband might want to provide, let's say, structure. And you might see yourself as a more spontaneous person. I want you to know that's not an accident. Okay. Your marriage is here for you to grow into something bigger than who you are right now. And it's not either or. It's not his or yours, but it's when you two come together, when you learn how to receive what he's providing, you will become a greater version of who you are, a greater, like, you know, I don't want to use, I guess the word is evolution is what I always hear my coach saying, but almost to me, it's like, I love the word vessel, like almost a greater vessel. There's more that you're able to receive from everything when you work on it here. And I'll give you some other examples. So the one I gave you was maybe he wants to provide structure. He's a very structured person and you want to be more spontaneous or laid back. And it's so hard for you because you just create this block. Like, that's not what I want to be getting from you. And I want you to just consider it from this idea of provider and receiver. Like, what if I open myself as an experiment? You can always go back if it doesn't work, but what if I open myself to receiving that? What if I open myself to seeing the value of that? Maybe your husband's the one who wants to provide all of the excitement and fun, and you're trying to budget for your financial future, right? How much more are you together as a couple when you're able to receive some of what he's providing? What I see is that when we block it, not only do we not allow what he could provide into our life, into ourselves, into our homes, but we actually become more rigid in what we are. Right. So if I'm really trying to make sure we have a solid financial future and he's trying to take us on a fun family vacation, I'm going to be even more rigid, badafka, to try and show like I'm making sure that this is who we are and I have to hold my ground and I have to defend it and be careful. Right. And so just this opportunity to shift it from what if I just open to receiving? And I'm going to talk about all the reasons that your brain wants to go to like, nope, we can't do that. Don't worry. I'm giving you a lot of tools in this episode. But this is the sort of overall concept. I want you to just sit with the idea that it's not an accident that he's trying to provide something that's not your thing. Maybe he wants to provide a beautiful home and you're low key. Maybe he wants to provide a lot of Torah, a lot of Divrei Torah for you. He wants to give you a really long and complicated Divrei Torah at the Shabbos table. And you don't have the patience because you've got three kids that need your attention. So technically you have three kids who need your attention. Also notice that there's a part of you that's not wanting to receive that from him. And let's just play with what might be available when we try it on. And again, you don't have to tell him. You don't have to be like, oh, I've decided I'm now receiving this thing from you. That's been very hard for me. Because by the way, he knows. He already figured it out that it's hard for you to receive it. It's just hard because, as I'll talk about later, it's the thing he wants to provide. And that means more than he's stubborn. So you don't have to tell him. You don't have to say, okay, now I've decided I'm going to receive it and call me out if I don't and let's go, I'm committing. I think just try this on your own. Don't let him know what's going on. Then you'll save yourself the possibility if it doesn't work for you. You can always go back, which gives us so much more room to explore and to be brave. So this is the concept. This is the concept is that often the reason we're not delighted is that we've decided what we should get. Right. And I wanted to just bring back that provider receiver model so that we are all kind of seeing that a little bit in context. And I want to take it much deeper today. Let's start with who we don't want to be. Okay. Cause this is what I hear from a lot of you sometimes. It's like, I'm just ugh about myself. Like, I don't like how I'm showing up right now. I'm so hard to please. I can see he's trying to please me and I just, nope. Or I just feel so negative, or I feel picky, like kind of like high maintenance. That's not who I am. I'm not like a picky person. I'm not like a self-oriented, selfish person. Why am I coming across that way? Why do I feel that way? We know that when we're in that headspace of the like closed off, non-receiving energy, not available to be delighted energy, that we then don't even enjoy what we have, the things that we actually like about our life, because we just get into that habit of like, oh, and I don't have that, and that's not nice, and that's not good enough, and that's not what I expected, and like, we just go there. And of course, like, who wants to give to that, right? So, and it just perpetuates the cycle of like us not getting either what we want or really anything. So the art of being delighted requires us to do a couple things differently than what you might naturally do. All right, so I have for you here, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 mindset shifts or paradigms that can help you with this. One way that this can be helpful for you is to see the thing that's being provided, whether it's a gift you didn't like or it's a thing, a value he's trying to bring into your life, or a lifestyle or something like that, as an expression of the giver, which is going to allow you to detach from your criteria of what you need, right? We go through so much of our life, at least I certainly did, with my parents saying to me, your birthday's coming up, start thinking what you want, right? And so we're like, okay, let me really get it figured out. Let me like spend a lot of time on me. I'm like, what I want. Notice I'm talking about wants today. I'm not talking about needs, right? And we get really attached to it, right? And then when they give us the thing that we want, we're like, ah, gratification, satisfaction. I got the thing that I wanted. Sometimes someone gives you something that's an expression of who they are. And I think children are a wonderful example of this. My five-year-old doesn't check with me how many sparkly stickers I want on my picture. She knows how many I need, right? She gives me just as many as I need to make that picture really special. In fact, I think the other day she made a picture and I said, I love it. Let me hang it up. She said, no, needs more sparkles. I've got these really special stickers, right? And so then she added to it. I might've even liked the picture before better than with the sparkles, right? Why does this not bother me? First of all, of course, I don't care about the picture versus, you know, sparkled versus not. But second of all, because it's so obvious to me that this is an expression of her. I'm not telling my five-year-old like, well, really what mommy would have liked, right? Of course not. It's her in that picture. It's what delights her. It's what she wants to give. It's an expression of her and who she is and how she expresses love. It's the same for everyone. Some of us might follow the rules more, right? Like they might follow the rules and they know, okay, I always ask for what they want because I want to give them something that they like. It's very nice. I'm not saying you have to stop that. But I don't want you to lose sight of the absolute delight of receiving something because it's an expression of who this person is. That's so special. Okay, so that's number one. Right? Just sitting with that. Like, this is who this person is, and they chose to give this to me. That's just delightful. Another piece I think a lot of us need to work on is to catch ourselves when we go into almost this protective instinct when something is given to us. So, what do I mean by that? There's a couple ways that it happens, but sometimes being given to requires a level of vulnerability. I don't know if it matters why, right? Like maybe it comes from like, well, I could have got that for myself. Or maybe it comes from like, you know, I have to sort of open to you in a really emotionally intimate way to receive this fully, right? It's like a lot of us have a really hard time taking compliments. Someone just called me out on this last week, getting a beautiful compliment. And I was busy writing down my notes on how I should have done better, literally in the moment. She said, are you receiving this? I just had to stop and look up and look in the eye of the person who was giving me the compliment and say, thank you. It's much more comfortable for me to write down notes of how I could do better. So there's a level of vulnerability to receive something from someone, not just your husband, from anyone. And it's okay. It's okay to feel vulnerable. It's also okay to feel a little uncomfortable feeling vulnerable. And that doesn't mean you can't do it. So catch yourself when you see that guard going up, like, oh, okay, I gotta protect myself here from this thing. It's not needed. It's not needed. It's just a new feeling, right? Like you're just like trying something new on for a change. One way I like to do this, this is the third tool I want to offer you, is I get out of my left brain, my very analytical brain, and I go into my sort of right brain where I think in terms of energy and imagery, and I see myself opening energetically to the gift. I might not do anything differently with my body, although it probably will be reflected in my posture and my nonverbal communication. But I just sort of imagine like those walls that went up, right? Or there's like maybe like a tiny mail slot where this gift can be slid in through the fortress. And I kind of imagine myself just pushing down those walls gently and opening my hands and opening my heart and just receiving the gift. I know this might sound a little woo-woo to some of us. Like I for sure came at coaching from a very cerebral place. And sometimes there's limitations to that. And so I can find visualization can sometimes really do what language sometimes can't, right? So whatever that visualization for you might look like, what would it look like to energetically receive the gift and imagining yourself quickly in your head doing that? Like you could do it slowly also, but I'm just saying it takes a second. It's not something that I sit there and do for 5 minutes while he's standing there holding the present, right? I just sort of go through that and it tells my body what I'm looking to do in that moment. Another reason a lot of women struggle to accept and to be delighted and to receive is that we have this calculation going in our head. If this thing that he just did, like taking out the trash or changing the baby's diaper or cooking dinner, I want to give him some positivity because I want him to do it again. But if I give him like too much positivity, then he might then think that I sort of need to pay him back to that level. So let me give him 25 points and not 300 points for making dinner, because really, you know, it's only fair that he makes dinner sometimes. Like, really, why should I have to make dinner every night? And we then go into this long justification of why he shouldn't have too many points. But notice that the source of all of that is the fear that he's going to come around and be like, well, since I made dinner, now can you, whatever the thing is that we might not want to do. We're nervous. We become stingy with giving out the points. We become stingy with our delight about what is being provided for us. Okay. And I want you to know that the points are never cashed in. They're not. If your husband's the type who can have this conversation with you, you could ask him. I checked with my husband. Are you going to cash in these points? And he said, no, we don't cash in points. We just use them up to feel amazing. The points are just for me. They make me want to do more for you. You're just putting gas in my tank of just enjoying the thrill of lighting you up and making you delighted. Don't get cashed back in. And to be totally honest, I think that for a lot of women, whether it's neurologically or socially, or it doesn't really matter, I think that we do cash in points, right? A lot of our life exists on the barter system. You know, I'm going to watch your kids the next two times that, you know, someone's sick and, you know, you have to work and maybe I can take care of your sick kid for you or whatever. I'll pick up some groceries for you. But then like, I kind of expect you to return the favor. That's only fair, right? We get very stuck on fair. That has nothing to do with points. It has nothing to do with your delight. There's no fair in the equation. So we're like, we're playing a whole game that's like not even like, it's the wrong board, right? The board is just your delight fueling him and feeding him. Why not? So when we just realize that, then it allows us to just not be stingy, because I don't have to be, right? Like, I just not a problem anymore. Super cool. Here's another one. Some of you get stuck on not expressing what you want. And I caught myself, if you're on my email list, I sent out this email, I got so many responses from you. So I guess you guys needed to hear it too. If you're not on my email list, that's just silly. KaylaLevin.com, get on it. But I sent out an email about how I just had my daughter's bat mitzvah on Thursday last week, and it was beautiful and she was amazing. And as we're getting ready, I was just really, this is my first, you know, big milestone like this. She's my oldest. And as I'm thinking about what I want to get her, I realized like, I really wanted to get something physical for myself. It's just not necessarily so expensive, but I just wanted something physical. I wanted a physical, you know, piece of jewelry that I could say like, that was the bat mitzvah. That was that milestone. That was also all that hard work they put into it to make it a beautiful day. And I caught myself immediately trying to talk myself out of it. You know, that's just gashmius. This shouldn't be about you. This should be about her. This is her day. Why are you doing this? You don't really need it. Come on. Like, what if you don't need another pair of earrings or piece of jewelry? And your husband is so busy right now. He does not need one more thing on his plate. It's not nice. Okay. That was my internal monologue. Automatically, like it came like a flood. The second that I went, I kind of want something sparkly, right? I immediately had this whole barrage of thoughts to convince me out of it. I automatically went to convincing myself out of it. But then I remembered something that I teach you all the time, maybe not so much on the podcast, but for sure with my clients inside the program, which is wanting is good. Part of being a receiver is to want things. And sometimes we get burned because we spend a lot of time wanting something that's not what's available to be provided. So then we just give up on wanting. So I want to just acknowledge sometimes you've wanted something and you didn't get it. And that might've been hard, but it doesn't mean that wanting is bad, and it doesn't mean it's dangerous, and it's okay. And it's so healthy for your relationship to want something if he could provide it for you. So then I said to my husband, like, I really want this. I really want a pair of earrings or something to just remember. I want something for her and I want something for me. I want to go pick it out and I want you to be there. And he figured out like, oh, I've got 30 minutes more of my lunch, you know, before I have to go between this thing and this thing that I'm doing. So let's go. Got in the car and we went and I picked something out. And it was like on a crazy deal because it's like not even buy two for, you know, cheaper. And I walked home and I had my thing and it was delightful. It was lovely, right? I'm also sharing that piece of it with you because a lot of you are still hung up on the fact that he should be able to go to the store and buy it for you and surprise you. I just totally dropped that whole thing. It doesn't matter to me at all. I wanted earrings that I like. You really wanted him there with me in the store. That's something I know he's able to provide. So that's what I asked for. And that's what I got. So wanting things is good. So if you catch yourself not telling him what you want, notice it's going to be a really, really challenging for you to be delighted because no one even knows what you're looking for. What gets you excited? What would be so lovely? And it's different than I just need some more help around here. I just need a nap. I just need more support. I want you to also know the part of you that wants the thing that's like, what's sparkly for you? A little beyond the day-to-day, because I get it. I get it that stuff is real, but that's a very different energy than being open to receiving and being open to being delighted. I think the last piece, and I'm going to go a little hushkafic on you guys, but this is the reality. So we got to focus on reality, right? Which is that if your husband can't give you something, I include under the category of can't things that he repeatedly won't, meaning we always think we know what he can provide because I know what's in his bank account and I know how much the thing costs and I know he can do it. Or, you know, I've told him or I've sent him the list or we have all the reasons he can. But here's the thing. If he knows what you want and you've told him repeatedly and he's not getting it for you, and sometimes he's even told you, I don't think I'm good at that. But even if he hasn't, if he's not doing the thing, and I'm saying get it for you because I just gave you the gift example, but it could be something else. Like, honey, I really wish you would give a DeVar Tower that was kid friendly, or I really wish that you would help me out more in this particular area. If he's not providing that for you, then call it a can't. Because you know what? There's things that I could do. I could keep my house clean all the time. But you know what? When I look at me and how I'm wired and the priorities that I have and how I run my life, right now it's kind of a can't. It's a can't. Unless I decide I really, really want to and I really want to work on that. But right now it's not the top priority for my house to always be spotless. So I'm going to call it a can't. And if that was something that my husband was really, really needing from me, so in my lane, yeah, I might decide to work on it. But when we turn that on him, I just want you to notice like kind of the futility of it and how much emotional energy goes into that. I want you to be more spontaneous. Why can't you just pick something? It's so obvious to me how to do that. Of course, it's obvious to you. You're not him. You're different. You have a different personality completely, right? And so putting something from the won't into the can't actually can be really helpful. Because I love the spontaneous example. Let's say you want your husband to plan a getaway. He knows that. You've told him that. You know, he knows you've dropped all the hints. You've told him directly, and you've been married for 8 years and it still hasn't happened. Don't put it as a won't. My husband won't plan a getaway because that leads directly into something wrong with him and something's wrong with you. What if you make it a can't? What if you say he can't? For some reason, he can't plan a getaway. So I might take a minute to sort of like mourn it kind of in a little way, like give myself 15 minutes to be like, oh, I had this whole vision and this whole dream that like, that's what would be romantic and that's what's important. And if I need to just kind of process that like bit of disappointment, okay. But if he can't do something, I might as well move on, find out how to get my spontaneous vacation. I might as well move on and figure out what he can give me that I love. Right? We spend so much time and like, he should be able to do this. It doesn't make sense that he won't. If you pull that back and you make it a can't and you don't let yourself get mired, because honestly, if he can't do it, this is the place where I wanted to go with you a bit deeper here. If he can't give it to you and it's not something that you really, really, really need, and like, that's a very small number of things. There's not a mistake. It's not a mistake you're married to this person. And what comes to us in our life, he's the shaliach. He's not, it's what you're meant, nothing can happen to you that's not meant to happen to you. Okay. And so, I want to make sure this is very clear. I'm talking about a functional, healthy, non-abusive relationship. Of course, always. If you're in a functional relationship and he can't give you the thing that you need, you're not supposed to have it. You're not. Now, a world of growth just opened up to you. a world of dropping the story and dropping the objection and dropping the resentment just opened up to you. Because when we're busy trying to be married to somebody that he's not, we can't be engaged in the relationship with the person he is, who is standing right there in front of you right now. So be married to him. And if you need to take a second to just sort of recalibrate from who you thought he's supposed to be to who he actually is, do it. Do it. It's so much better on the other side. It's so worth it. So here are my 6 tools for the art of being delighted. It's to notice the expression of the giver, to catch yourself with that protective instinct and allow yourself the vulnerability, to use your sort of visualization and energy to open to the gift, to know that he's not going to cash in the points, to remember that wanting things is good and you can tell him what you want, and to keep Hashem in the picture. You're supposed to get what you're getting and not get what you're not getting. And it's for your good. I really believe that the prerequisite to every gift is coaching. And I'll tell you why. Because when your brain is clunky and cluttered and negative, and we all go there, and I am there before every coaching session because I get myself coached too, it's so hard to receive. It's so hard to be delighted. Our life just can feel so hard, or we can feel so tired, or we can feel so resentful. When we have coaching, when we have a way to witness and compassionately engage with our brains, to use our brains to make our lives better, to make our experience of our life get better, every gift we receive, we will be able to receive more fully from a more authentic version of who we are, because we're not all mucked up with all these negative filters that we're walking around with all the time, which is just normal and part of having a human brain. It just needs some decluttering from time to time. So I want to invite you to come and join me and do that mental declutter once a week. How luxurious is that? You don't have to hang on to any resentments more than a week. You don't have to hang on to any frustrations. You don't have to have any worries. And you know what? If a week is too long for you, we have a Slack community where you can post whatever you need. And there's an entire community of women who are operating this way, who are there to help you. Usually by the time I wake up in the morning, I've already seen questions and answers already taken care of that I don't even have to touch because the community is taking care of each other. It is an incredible, incredible space to be. So what a beautiful thing to want if you get gifts for Hanukkah, or if you just want to do it now because right now is the deal. Doesn't have to have anything to do with Hanukkah. Express what you want. Let him know. Give him the win. Let him know why this would be so valuable for you. All he has to do is go to kaylalevin.com/coaching. Yes, you can tell him what you want. No, it does not have to be a surprise. You can send him the link or get it for yourself. What a beautiful thing to do. I can't wait to welcome you inside the community. We'll be starting off 2023 with a bang and an amazing, amazing new group of women. I can't wait to have you in there. The second you sign up, you get started and you'll have access to our very next call, our last call recording, and also my 3 amazing online courses. It's totally a no-brainer. So I'll see you inside kaylalevin.com/coaching. I'll see you back here on the podcast whenever the next podcast comes out. Maybe next week, maybe not. Have an amazing Hanukkah, everyone. Bye-bye. Hey there. If you know a newlywed or you are one, we have a wedding gift for you. Go to kaylalevin.com/newlywed to get access to my best-selling course, First Year Married. You have got to be in your first 6 months, so make sure you don't wait. And if you've been married longer than that, but you're looking for some more support, or this stuff is just super fun for you, I'd love to have you join me inside of my membership community, How to Glow. It's for women looking for a fresh take on relationship development. Join us for live coaching calls, signature classes, and anonymous Q&A. Let's do it.